BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Extraordinary noise.
Wow.
What's that sound, listeners? Little fun competition for you.
That's like when you find out that the noise of, is it lightsabers or TIE fighters in Star Wars, is made from a piano wire in a tube or something. Because that noise sounds science fictional. Make it again.
Oh, and now I've given it away. It's one of those things you stick up your nose when you've got a cold, inhaler thing. That's the contents rattling around inside, isn't it? But
you could use that.
That's my brain. You could hear my brain rattling about. Sorry, listeners. I do a lot of complaining on the show this week about the fact that I am falling to part. I mean, I'm an absolute mess. I'm completely Mary Decker. I've got problems with my elbows. I've still got
cold. They're going to hear about all this anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, but probably. I'm apologising in advance for going on about it.
On the contrary, I'm incredibly proud.
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, at the Black Squadron's response to this morning's command, and obviously this doesn't make it into the podcast.
Yeah.
But people who listen live to the show are members of a special squadron called Black Squadron. People who listen live to the first half hour, they're given commands, and they're an extraordinary force of bright, intelligent, and responsive people. This morning, their command was Pan Hat.
That's all you said?
That's all I said, and we were inundated with an extraordinary wealth of very moving, proud, noble photographs of listeners.
I mean, within seconds, these started pouring through, and we're going to try and put as many of them up on the blog as we
There's
can.
There's Jade with her thumbs up and a little cheeky saucepan on her head.
On her little cheeky face.
There's Ben Smith with a colander and a wacky face. There's that guy with that on. But you know, if you want to see some of these photos, do go to our blog, bbc.co.uk/blogs/AdamandJoe. But what an extraordinary response, listeners. You've made us extremely proud.
What do you think people who didn't know about the show would think if they could see a big montage of those people?
Just to say one more thing, I mean, it's not as if it's pointless either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not as if it's really stupid and pointless.
That's true, because it could...
Because it would just be depressing if... It would just be like a bit depressing.
I don't know why real military people... I'm not trying to imply that Black Squadron aren't real military, but, you know, more conventional military people don't wear pots and pans on their heads instead of helmets, because it does double up. You can cook with it when you're out in the field, right?
Yeah.
And also protect yourself from bullets.
Yeah, and also you can sort of disable someone without hurting them by merely banging the pot like a gong.
Bashing it over their
head. They're all like discombobulated.
I think that's in a cartoon. If you did bash someone with a pot, it would hurt them.
Gently.
Right, right.
Just to make a noise.
If it went doing, that would be loud enough and forceful enough for it to really hurt them.
You're right. We must be conscious of health and safety.
So anyway, listeners, we are going to be telling you who won Song Wars this week. We've got exciting news about a new kind of project that you can get involved with if you want to appear at the Electric Proms with us on stage and come along to a big kind of a party event we're having there.
When we say stage.
Yeah, there'll be a stage though, right?
Yeah, there will be a stage.
In the toilet? Yeah.
We'll get a plank on a couple of bricks.
So you'll find out more about that during this week's podcast. We've got a great Text the Nation as well, which we got a good response to, that, of course, you can still contribute to for Retro Text the Nation next week. It's all coming up, right? So without further Trisha doo-doo, let's get on with it. Here it is.
This is a big British castle podcast with some talking from the Adam and Joe Show radiogram. You can listen to it while you're on your way to work, and when you get there you can listen on the loo. How do you do?
Now, I was complaining last week that I had a cold, listeners. I haven't completely gotten rid of it, but that cold is just the tip of the iceberg now for my health worries. I'm absolutely falling to part.
I had a tough week medically as well.
Did you? What happened to you?
I was bleeding from two large holes in the right side of my body on Tuesday.
Did you get shot?
I didn't. I went to the doctor and he removed a skin tag that was on my side and catching on my T-shirt.
A skin tag?
Yeah, you know, a tiny little bit of weird skin that sort of pops up. Do you not have those? I've got one right there, I think.
Oh, yeah.
They're like sort of moles, but you know what a skin tag is.
Mm.
Do you not have any?
No, I haven't got skin tags. I've got lots of other things.
Have you?
Yeah.
Anyway, he injected it with some anesthetic and adrenaline.
And adrenaline?
Yeah.
Why adrenaline?
He told me everything he was doing. Oh. I didn't like it. He said, I'm just going to put a little bit of... this might hurt quite a lot. Just going to inject into the middle of it with some adrenaline.
That's because he knows you like
just
Crank.
Just to stop it bleeding too much. It is, isn't it? He knows I watch Crank too. And then he said, and then I'm just going to cut it off with a sharp spoon.
A spoon?
He said, it's just like a spoon, but it's very sharp on one end. Oh. So you'll feel some tugging. And then I'm going to cauterize it.
Ooh. Imagine if he got his spoons confused at breakfast time.
Went just in with used a big, spoon. Blunt one.
Ouch. Wow. So you had some skin tag action.
Yeah. And so I wasn't allowed to wash for 3 days.
Mm. Were you not?
Oh, stinky.
That's normal, though, isn't it? For you?
And then I got home, decided to lie on the sofa to convalesce, mm-hmm. and I was in bare feet. I stood on a piece of glass.
Ouch!
And I stood on it just as I was rotating on my heel in order to flop onto the sofa. And it was kind of curved and thorn-shaped. So it's sort of like a drill bit. It sort of went up into my... it wasn't my heel, it's the other bit. But the toes, what's that called?
Jimmy.
Toe pads. Jimmy the toe pad.
Yeah.
It went up into Jimmy the toe pad.
Why was it on the floor? Why have you got glass on the floor?
At 3 p.m, I was fine. By 4:30, I was on the sofa leaking blood from two massive wounds in the right-hand side of my body.
Goodness gracious.
It was wicked.
You know, this time last week, last Friday before the show, right, I had a gig in Greenwich. I was cycling there and I was going past a parked car and the guy in the car opened the car door as I was going past without looking, right? Smashed me right in the left arm. It was agony. And so I was late for the gig.
Did
so
he
I
not knock
stop.
You off your bike?
No. It was such that I took the full force of the corner of the door right on my elbow, my left elbow.
And you were in motion?
I was in motion and I stopped and looked behind because I was pretty angry, obviously. Yeah, that it was totally this guy's fault for not looking. But he was more worried about his car, whether I'd scraped his car. You know what I mean? It was terrible. And my arm really, really hurt.
That's how the film Bullet Boy starts.
Is it?
Almost, yeah.
It was absolute agony, but I couldn't stop and have a discussion with him about it.
If you'd scratched his car, he would have demanded money. If you didn't have the money to pay him, he would have shot your dog.
Right.
And then you would have probably shot him.
Would have been a spiral of violence.
And it would have been like Bullet Boy.
Terrible.
Terrible.
So, but luckily I got over that. However, this week I wake up one morning and my right arm is painful on the elbow.
What?
And in the night, check this out, I woke up and it felt as if I'd been drugged. I was in a stupor and I hadn't been drugged.
No, you hadn't been drugged.
I don't think so.
No, you hadn't.
Why are you saying it like that?
Like what?
Well, it was weird, though. I just felt really weird when I woke up in the night. And then the next morning, my elbow hurt. And then it started to swell. And I think I was bitten by something, like a spider or something. Why are you looking at me like that? I'm not making this up.
No, I know you're not making it up.
And it's like throughout the week, it's absolutely become agonocious. Agonious.
Agnostic.
Agnostic. And it's terrible. I went to the doctor. I've got like antibiotics and stuff.
What's the prognosis?
Well, she didn't really give me much of a prognosis.
What's caused it? Why is it?
I don't know. I mean, there's two little points on there, which I think are bites. Someone else said maybe it's a boil coming up, but it's just absolute agony. And it's sort of spreading. I can hardly use... I can't
cycle.
Maybe
it's the beginning of the end.
That's what I'm worried
Maybe
about.
Maybe it's the final curtain.
I don't think I'm going
to
be...
Starting to drop across the stage.
Here next week, listeners. I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my troubles have disappeared because Retro Text the Nation's here. And now my letter might be read out instead of thrown in the trash and forgotten about.
Yes, it's Retro Text the Nation time, listeners. This is a kind of a new segment of the show where we read out some contributions to last week's Text the Nation subject. It's a way to be inclusive with Listen Again listeners and podcast listeners.
It used to be a podcast-only feature, Retro Text the Nation.
But that broke the castle rules for a maximum amount of new material in a podcast, right? If you put too much new stuff in a BBC podcast...
Contravenes rules.
It contravenes rules because it makes it almost commercial. Do you know what I mean? It's not I don't quite understand.
I still don't understand exactly what the problem is. Yeah.
Violates the remit.
It violates the remit, and we were actually jailed for some time.
And it was horrible in there.
It was terrible. We were badly beaten, and our producer James, he was put on a rack.
Yeah.
Stretched.
And do you know who was running the place? Vernon Kay. And that really surprised me.
It was galling.
The thing that freaked me out most was it was filthy, and it was covered in blood and feces. I mean, it was horrible. It was a real proper dungeon. But yet Kay's suit was perfect white. All through our incarceration.
And then just when you thought things couldn't get any worse, Philip Schofield put us in the cube for a while.
Oh, don't remind me.
And he laughed. He kept on laughing. He had this demonic laugh. Laughing.
And the thing was that Kay was, I mean, he was really flagellating.
Yeah.
Very, very brutally with chains.
And beans as well. Beans.
And there was, you know, splatter going everywhere. But yet, I mean, I think he must have... I think he must have had that suit pressed and changed at the taxpayer's expense sort of instantly.
He smelt delicious.
He did smell, and he's terribly handsome.
And he's a very slick...
Very sadistic.
He's absolutely sadistic. So, you know, this is why we couldn't include Retro Texanation in the podcast anymore. We had to shift it into the actual live show. And last week, our Texanation subject was names that you've given your body parts. And it sort of was focusing mainly on the jungly nether regions.
The Congolese.
Areas, and we have a couple more of those to read out for you this week. Do you want to fire off one?
Sure. Here's one from Sean, somewhere in Kent. He says, I can't give you my full name for fear of ridicule, but as a young chap, I used to often pop into the bathroom for a whittle whilst my mum was in the bath, and I was fascinated by her breast, which I called Womble's Nose. Below is a picture of a Womble's Nose. Unfortunately, not my mum's. Can you picture a Womble's nose?
Yeah, I can.
You can make that connection.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah. Two friendly Wombles posing for a photo with
Uncle
their heads
Bulgaria.
Pressed together.
Yeah.
Mm.
Good times.
Good times.
Here's one from Matt. He says, when me and my sister were little, my father taught us to refer to lady bits as Wilhelmina, as in boys have a willy and girls have a Wilhelmina. You can imagine the bother it caused in later life. I mean, Wilhelmina's not a very common name, though, for, like, actual people. So I don't think that would be a massive problem. Like, Willy's a more common name amongst people than
I think that's very nice.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Thanks.
Touching.
That was from Matt.
This is one from David the Mega Dude.
Is he a Mega Dude?
Well, he's not a Mega Dude. He's the Mega
he's
Dude.
He's the Mega Dude.
And he has a capital M and a capital D.
I'd love to be a Mega Dude.
Mega Dude. How does he know he's a Mega Dude?
You've got to train for about 10 or 15
really?
Years.
Really? Yeah. He's certificated.
He's passed a lot of exams.
Does he have that after his name, like a sort of BSc ons kind of
MD.
Thing?
Yeah, MD. Quincy. Quincy was a Mega Dude.
He says simply, men's nipples, mipples, women's nipples, whipples. He is a Mega Dude.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
He's fully qualified. this is from Howard, staying in the Congo area. Adam and Joe, oh, it's a very touching message, this one, though. It starts out touching, at least. Adam and Joe, I need your help. I've just split up with my girlfriend, and I'm very, very sad. I've been a massive fan of you both.
I thought you said you weren't going to read this one.
Well, I've changed some of his fruity language.
Okay.
I've been a massive fan of you both. Since I would stay up and watch Channel 4's Adam and Joe show. Nothing made me laugh so much. Now I listen to your show. Give me a shout out and make me feel better, please. Consider it done, Howard. And then he continues, and if it helps, I call my man part my love musket. Coincidentally, that's what caused me and my girlfriend to split up. Because I thought with my love musket.
Clearly doesn't help, does it? I saw him.
I suppose not.
It's been a destructive element in his life.
Help me, Adam and Joe, he says. Well, I hope that helped, Howard. I hope you're feeling better.
Love musket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's one from Carol Walsh
like
in Dublin.
Pirate.
I'm a listener with a very itchy back. Don't judge me. It's hereditary. Anywho, my good friend has a hand that lends itself to scratching, but unfortunately is rubbish with directions. So what I've done is to name the various areas of my back, making commands easier for him to follow. The areas of my back are named as follows. Top right, Liz McDonald. Bottom right, Steve McDonald. Bottom left, Becky. Top left, Jim McDonald.
What?
It's a good system and it works. By Carol Walsh from Dublin.
I like the fact that he's got a good hand for scratching. Well,
yeah.
Like he's got fingers.
Well, nails. You've got to have good nails to be
true.
A good scratcher.
Not too long.
Not too long, not too short. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Right, consistent.
And you want them nicely trimmed as well. You don't want any jaggy stuff on
I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, my lady partner and I, our life is basically a trade war of head scratching.
Uh-huh.
Every time I sit near her, all I have to do is waggle my head like that, and that's the command for her to scratch it.
Like
does anyone
dog.
Else do that? And then she does the same, and I have to do it. And then I start sort of owing her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have to scratch that. So there's quite a lot of disgruntled head scratching that goes on.
Grudging, yes.
Yeah, you know, as a sort of penance kind of thing.
That's right. I have to massage my wife occasionally when we're watching television, give her a neck massage.
Do you?
I never get...
What do you mean you have to?
Well, she makes it clear. She goes, please, could you help me out? I'm in some
What, just
pain.
Do a little impression? Oh, Addy.
She goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I watch on my cameras.
Right. She goes, Addy, please give me a massage, please. And it goes on for quite a long time.
I tell you what I do as well.
What?
If we're watching the telly and my feet are bare, I put my foot right near her and I waggle it.
Yeah.
To be stroked. Like it's a really irritating little dog or something.
Yeah.
I just shake it right next to her. And then the only way she can stop it is by stroking it.
Like Boggins.
Like Boggins. I hope Boggins... Boggins! Boggins! Listeners,
scratch on my head.
I didn't know Boggins was going to turn up in the middle of this.
There's a scratch on my head, under my belly.
Boggins is the Adam and Joe dog, and of course he's famous for saying things that sound a tiny bit like words.
I'm going to lick your nose and face.
They're pretty much incomprehensible. He was on That's Life in the 70s, Boggins. What are you, Boggins? He's lost it now. That doesn't...
Get us a scratch under my tummy where all the hair's gone.
But of course this week Boggins and I went on an adventure, didn't we, Boggins?
Yeah,
we went to Germany, didn't we, Boggins?
Oh, yeah.
To appear on a live TV show called Petschdick. Yeah, me and Boggins to Petschdick. That's an exciting journey.
Yeah.
And Boggins, of course, wowed the studio audience on Petschdick by making a noise that sounded slightly similar to the words raffle tickets.
Raffle tickets. Was it
does? Oh, you can't do it now.
Was it does raffle tickets?
Raffle tickets,
Boggins. Raffle tickets.
Raffle tickets.
Raffle tickets.
No, don't lick that, Boggins. So that was brilliant. We made 10,000 euros for that appearance. And I bought Boggins a biscuit and I'm banking the rest.
Have you got any back?
What, Boggins?
Have you got back?
Don't understand.
Have you got any back?
He used to be much more comprehensible.
Have you got like a remix of Beck, Cornelius, anything like that?
No, I don't understand what he's saying. Here's Beck.
Hi there. This is the music artist Beck. Beck Hansen, and you're listening to the Adam and Joe podcast. I just did a new Beck song about Adam and Joe, so here it is.
2, 3, 4. Adam and Joe with a razor blade overcoat, sitting on a fruit machine, eating dirty pickles with a pong.
Did you like it? I hope so. Thank you. This is Beck. Now back to the Adam and Joe podcast. Bye.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Listeners, Text the Nation is the part of the show where we give you a kind of a chit-chatty subject, provocative, fascinating little idea.
Oh, yeah.
Bomblet.
Yeah.
And you have a think about it and then text in your suggestions. Yeah. And this week's Text the Nation theme is annoying habits that TV presenters do.
Yeah.
Now, I was watching a BBC 4 programme about the history of Scotland. I don't know the presenter's name, but it was a man with sort of long black hair. And he was walking around Scotland ranting facts.
Yeah.
And they were doing some very, very annoying techniques. And I'm not sure whether this is the presenter himself or whether it's the camera style. But he was doing a thing about a church, and he was standing in the church, telling us about the church. But the cameraman was at a low angle, circling him very fast. Yeah. In the opposite, and he was turning physically in the opposite direction.
That old chestnut.
And it was really quite fast, as if it was the part of a feature film where the lead character is going insane.
Right.
But it wasn't a feature film about that. It was a historical documentary about a church. But it was spinning and dizzying and it went on for minutes.
Yeah.
And it was unwatchable.
That's just annoying direction though, rather than presenting.
Well, I think I'm specifically talking about presenter links, and they're difficult things to do. Right. Like we've done them a lot, and I'm sure we've done them really badly.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to make them interesting.
Yes.
And directors always want to make them interesting, but sometimes that urge results in a very annoying practice, either by the presenter, him or herself, or the camera person.
The culture show sometimes have some, they really are always trying to find new ways of making a piece interesting, and they do a fantastic job of it. But then every now and again, they'll pull out something out of their bag, and it's quite annoying. Like one of the things they sometimes do, not just on the culture show, but on lots of programs, is they do, they lock off a shot, right?
Yeah.
And then they have the person popping up in several different parts, like multiple.
Yes.
Versions of the same person.
Because basically those things are audio. You don't really need to see it, do you?
No.
So they feel they have to justify their existence on telly by doing something visual.
Uh-huh.
But it's often a bit rubbish. Here's another one in that same documentary about the history of Scotland. He was telling us more facts about Scotland.
Voice. You sound like the guy on
My Dragon's Scottish Den. Accent is terrible.
What's his name, the guy on Dragon's Den?
I don't know, a Scottish one.
I'm out.
This fella was walking along a road. That's terrible. What happened there? That was awful. Anyway, he's walking along a road.
A road.
And they shot it. He's walking along a sort of country lane, telling us more facts about Scotland.
Yeah.
But the camera is behind him, over his left shoulder, very close, like a Darden Brothers film. Do you know the Darden Brothers?
Yeah, sure. Watch a lot of...
Some listeners will understand.
We're having a Darden marathon at our house tonight.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be depressing. Anyway, he's walking along. The camera's over his shoulder. The road in front of him is completely out of focus.
Right.
And then he turns his head towards the lens. Robert the Bruce was a brusque man, a tough man, you know?
Yes.
And it was very annoying. It was as if we, the viewer, were like scuttling along behind him, desperate for him to give us another fact over his shoulder. And then my favourite sort of place for annoying presentational techniques is a channel called Film 24 that used to be on Freeview.
Oh, yes, I know it.
That's an amazing channel. I don't know whether it's still on anymore because I don't have Freeview anymore. It's changed or whatever.
I think it still is.
But it's sort of EPKs.
Yeah.
It's promotional films for forthcoming movies. And they're linked by presenters who are usually sort of ex-Blue Peter presenters.
Mm-hmm.
And they shoot it on the back lot of Pinewood Studios. And they do the most amazing links. Like on some of them, they'll come into a link and the camera will be static, pointed at a row of columns in a building.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the camera will start moving and the presenter will appear from behind one of the columns and start walking along. Do you
Going
know what I mean?
Going at the same time.
Same time. And then exactly when their spiel ends, they will pass behind a column and the camera will stop. It's like, what were you doing behind the column?
Those kind of things take ages to get right as well.
But they look so stupid. Or then there's links where a presenter will start on a bench.
Yeah.
And then stand and walk across to a fountain.
Yeah.
And then exactly when the end of their spiel stops, they'll put one leg on the fountain and lean. But that is not what was going to happen. Do you know what I mean? And then it'll cut. So that's what we're after. And that things you find irritating. It can be specific. You can name names.
Sure.
You can accuse presenters. You can accuse us of having annoying habits. I mean, we have lots of annoying habits, but we usually set them to music and try and profit from them. But what are the most annoying TV presentational quirks that you guys can send us?
We'd love to hear from you. If you're responding to this Text the Nation subject during the week, if you're listening again or listening on the podcast, then you have to email us your thoughts.
Adam and Joe. Naughty.
This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and I think it's time that we resolved last week's Song Wars battle. We both composed songs about the bath time. Joe did one about David Bowie taking a bath. Mine was a kind of two-step number about...
A special bath for a dirty lady.
Dirty lady who needed a bath.
No one's going to forget that in a hurry. If you want to hear either of those songs, they're still available in kind of... cruddy quality on the Adam and Joe Six Music website.
Uh-huh.
Or, of course, they're available in full amazing quality in the podcast, which is still up until the end of the weekend, isn't it?
That's true, isn't it?
So it's time to announce the winner. Here's a couple of emails that we had in. This one's from Ollie Perry. He says, I'm afraid my vote has to go to Joe's bath time for Bowie. Sorry, Adam. I just found that BFB, I mean, that's what they're calling it now.
What's BFB?
Bath time for Bowie. I mean, so many people are saying it. It's taking up time, so it's best to abbreviate it.
BFB, yeah.
Yeah, that's what the Twitterati are doing,
sure,
Adam.
Sure.
The song's such a big hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know it's at number one?
Oh, if you win now, after all.
I'm not going to win. I just found that BFB to be more the sort of thing I would actually bathe to.
What?
It also made me chuckle lots. But don't worry, we have a balancing email
Splish.
Here.
Splosh.
exactly. Who wouldn't want to bow to that? This is one from Kate.
Yeah.
My vote this week goes to Special Bath for A Dirty Girl by Dr. Buckles. I particularly enjoyed the rhythmic pairing of Badded Ass and Big Bad Ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing bit of
lyrical. She says, please understand that I'm not downplaying the merits of Bowie in the bath, but, and as a member of Black Squadron, I'm slightly ashamed to admit, I've never been a Bowie fanatic, and some of the references within the song may have been lost to me.
Oh, right.
That email's more about my song, really, in the final analysis.
So if she had understood the references, she'd be voting for your song. That was the implication there. Thanks for all your messages about Song Wars, incidentally.
Ooh.
Here are the results.
That's me in pain. My song got 23%, but Adam's Special Bath wins with 67%.
You know, I'm surprised.
I'm not surprised.
I am surprised, because your Bowie in the bath is very strong.
Well, music is the winner.
Yeah.
You know, but I did finish mine off early to watch Crank 2.
That's true, you did, didn't you?
So I think I deserve. Plus, I probably took about 4 hours over it.
Did you?
5 hours, maybe, yeah.
No, I absolutely killed myself doing this one.
Well, yours is good, man. And here's an opportunity to hear it again. This is the winning song. This is called Special Bath. It's by Count Buckules.
Thank you.
And it won with 67% of the vote.
Yes!
Oh, girl, you're so dirty. I love your mucky mind, but your body's also filthy, which I weren't so pleased to find. You're so fit, but what's up with your personal hygiene? That's why you haven't had a boyfriend since you were 13. You have the matted hair of an Australian backpacker, and in your pants last night I found some cheese and a cracker. You say you don't like bathing cause you're frightened of the water, but it's getting crazy, girl. You know I really think you ought to come round to my place tonight. We'll have a special bath. Stop smelling like a vagrant and take the fragrant path. I've got some candles, some petals, some Radox and some matey and some badass. So lower your badass into the bubbles and the water, which is slightly too hot. Like you, but you'll get used to it the way I had to do. With the smell from your shoes, just take it slow. When the pain from the scalding subsides, it's nice. Sit at the end where the taps are, baby, that's my advice. It's more convenient, you know. I'll take the boring end, cause I'm your special bar friend. Come round to my place tonight. We'll have a special bar. It's not so bad, is it? It's nice. It's just a couple of rules you need to know before we go on. You might presume that heavy petting in the bath is fun, but it's uncomfortable and makes it hard to get the cleaning done. And perhaps you think that with a bubble bath you're safe to let one go, but trust me, that's not how it works. And when the bubbles burst, oh no. And finally, you may believe that a tinkle in the bath is tops, but if I detect extra warmth, I'll call the cops. Come round to my place tonight. We'll have a special bath. Stop smelling like a vagrant and take the fragrant path. I wanna rock with you, lady woman, if you know what I mean. But there's gonna be no rocking unless you're really keen.
Mind the gap.
Yes, it mind the gap.
Now, in the news, they had a little vox pop there with a person who'd been to a Coldplay gig. Let's just hear that vox pop there.
It was absolutely amazing. This is like the fourth time I've seen them, and they just keep on getting better and better and better.
That's Gwyneth Paltrow, isn't it? They just found her wandering around at the gig. That's what she... They just keep getting better and better. I've only seen them four times. They were really good, though. That's how she speaks. Because she's moved to England and she's got the English voice now. That's how she talks, like Madonna. And Simon Pegg got up there and blew a little harmonica.
He's done that before.
Has he?
He makes a habit of that, yeah.
You say you're a little chippy about it, aren't you?
Trip-trapping on
you're
stage.
Jealous. You're jealous, man.
Jealous of playing harmonica on a Coldplay track.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I am.
I mean, getting up on stage with one of the biggest bands in the world.
Yeah.
Playing a bit of harmonica.
Fun for the person doing it. I always wonder how much fun it is for the audience.
Yeah, it's Simon Pegg. He's one of the most well-loved movie stars
in
the world.
Don't make it personal. I know, Simon, you'll get me in trouble. Yeah. Don't you realise the context of these comments?
Show just socially with his arms folded going, Simon Pegg. I mean, he's not a very good blues harmonica player, though, is he? Why is he up there?
Do you think he can play that? Do you think he can play the harmonica?
Yeah. He can do anything.
He can do anything. You're quite right.
Anyone can play
the
harmonica.
You're dropping me in it. Why are you dropping me in it like this?
What would you play if you went
up there? There was a candid comment between us off air, and now you've dragged it on air.
Sorry.
Listen, let's clear it. I think he's brilliant. I wish he was one of Coldplay.
I just say that I wish he
played the drums and sang.
I know it's not about Simon himself. I just think you're just jealous because you want to get invited on stage with a rock band to play an instrument.
Do you think?
Yes, everyone does.
Do you think?
I would love it if I got to do it. I once played...
you did. You bounded onto stage with Travis. And it wasn't it mildly excruciating?
It was
not for the audience, but for you.
No, I'm sure it was excruciating for both the audience and me as well. It was absolutely mortifying, yeah.
Yeah.
I was rubbish. I was playing the tambourine.
Yeah.
And I suddenly realised I couldn't really play the tambourine.
The thing is, we're not very famous either.
No.
So
it was
certainly
in Germany
much
as well.
Less famous than Travis. So here's this random man coming on stage to a fanfare and playing the tambourine
in
really
Berlin
poorly.
It was.
Looking really uncomfortable.
Oh, this is classic. Check this out. It's classic, man. Oh, no. This is so classic. Yeah, look at that. It's classic. Sort of.
My guy Garvey's giving me a lot of jit, man.
Is it?
Yeah.
I bet you were just wincing there during that record.
I'm like Wincy Willis.
I feel sorry for you. What can you do? Is there a bubo on it?
A bubo? No, it's not a
burstable.
There's
nothing to pop.
No, it's not like a spider bite that you sometimes see on the internet where you...
Where it's full of spiders,
right.
Tiny spiders.
Little spiders. No, you can't drain it or anything like that. You know, it's not pustulant.
What kind of pain is it?
I swear to you, it's like someone has just got a crowbar and smashed my arm.
Really?
It's so painful. And every time it touches anything, it's absolute agony.
Really?
I came in on the tube because I can't cycle, right? I can't grip my handlebars. Mm. And I was just really worried about people knocking it on the tube and stuff.
Oh, you've taken some painkillers, though.
I'm hopped up on painkillers and antibiotics and all
that. You could always chop it off, mate.
You could.
Just get rid of it. I'd cauterize it with a hot pan or pot.
Or a sharp
depending
spoon.
On what you wanted.
I could cut it off
a
with a sharp spoon.
Inject some adrenaline into it to stop the blood flowing.
Into my heart.
I could do that. I could make a little...
Dr. Sexy, do you think you could do that?
I wouldn't get Dr. Sexy to operate
would
on
you
it.
Not?
No, that'll be a mess. I mean, it'll be very pleasurable, but it won't improve the injury. It'll take your mind off.
Sexy mess.
Yeah. It will take your mind off. Eventually, the pain will come back.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. Hey, let's have the Text the Nation jingle and get back into that. Why not?
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Text the Nation this week, listeners, all about annoying things that TV presenters do or annoying ways that programs present their links kind of thing.
What kind of response are we getting from the listeners?
A very, very good response. You know, people are very opinionated about television.
They really are, aren't they? I mean, I've talked before about my dad, how incensed he gets when he watches the news. If he doesn't like the style of the news presenter, Fiona Bruce is his bête noire, then... But I remember when growing up, he would have a problem with Jan Leeming, and he would just spit and grumble and... Not actually gob, you know what I mean, but like spit fury and...
Just going back to your dad being annoyed by Fiona Bruce. Mm. We might do some filming for the Bruce,
oh, yes,
mightn't
that's right.
we? So we might get to meet the Bruce.
It'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Maybe we should bring your dad and they can have a confrontation.
No, we should definitely.
Because he's a very polite man. He wouldn't be rude to her, would he? And
not
it would
to
be
her
interesting.
Face.
It'd be interesting what would happen to his opinions if he was presented with the actual person.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think he wouldn't have a problem. He'd be charmed and seduced by her loveliness.
But he'd go away with the same problems.
But it's her style when she's actually on TV that he's got a problem with. And that's
but
the
look,
thing with a lot of
we
people.
We should get into some of the listeners' opinions. Sorry to ramble over you there. But here's a good one from Tom in Derby. He says,
At the end of every episode of Grand Designs, Kevin MacLeod does a little summary spiel outside the finished building. This ends with him walking off the shot as the theme tune cuts in. My girlfriend and I compete to guess which direction he's going to go in.
Like Bod.
She always wins. It's true that. And sometimes he does a thing at the end of every, just before every break, Kevin MacLeod, where he does a little synopsis. Yeah. Just like Tom said, he goes, "The house is enormously ambitious, but are they going to get it finished before the winter rains?" And then he walks off. But sometimes he does it about 4 feet away from them. And he's saying it as if it's a little candid moment between him and the viewer. But often the owners are just there sort of, and they're listening. Did you hear what he said, Sophie?
He doesn't think we're going to finish before the winter
rains. He says the staircase is awful and ugly and vulgar. Clearly heard that. But that's a good one. Here's another one from Tim in London. And we've had a number of texts about this one. "Hi, Adam and Joe. I'm a massive fan of MasterChef. Except one bit really annoys me. When the bald one, brackets Greg, tastes the food, he holds his fork in a crazy cradled way. The type of way you might feed a baby, as if pretending it was a plane. Then he also keeps it in his mouth far too long."
Right.
Says Tim in London. And there's another one here.
That's to show that he's a professional. He's savouring it, right?
This is from Robin in London. "Nothing is more disgusting than the way the bald MasterChef presenter takes food off the fork slower than slow. The camera always shows it too." Ugh.
He's savouring.
Robin in London.
The bald MasterChef presenter.
Stephen in Glasgow says, "I've always noticed that the newsreader, George Alagaya, has a tendency to emphasise words by bobbing his head like the Churchill dog. As a result, I can no longer watch the news or the Churchill ads because I get too confused."
Oh, yes.
George Alagaya, he's great, though. What would you... I've never noticed that. I'm going to have to study him.
Yeah, he's not great anymore now that now that we've been switched onto that problem.
I feel attracted to George Alagaya.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a different Text the Nation.
I think he's very handsome.
Here's one from Jules in Hackney. "I hate presenters who seem to be surprised to have met their interviewee as if by coincidence. So here I am at the hedgerow with Peter." Hello, Peter. That is quite annoying, isn't it? Someone else has texted in about the way they knock on doors and then pretend that opening the door hasn't expected them.
It's weird they still do that, isn't it? That's just the language of telly, though.
And the, you know, whoever opens the door always has their hair done and their best their best nightie on, kind of thing. Here's one from an anonymous texter. "I hate how Tony Robinson in Time Team neither runs nor walks when somebody calls him to a find. He's always semi-trotting. The stuff's been in the ground for years. It'll still be there if you walk."
that's the show, though, isn't it? Because they do make it seem like an emergency.
They do, yes. Something 3,000 years old.
Tony Robinson divides people because, I mean, he's well-loved. He's a national treasure in many ways.
Mm.
But parents often grumble about him. Like my in-laws, really, man. They
hate him, do they? Well, that's what telly's for, isn't it?
I think he's scruffy and weird.
Here's one from Adrian in Derry. "I hate it when Adrian Childs touches Christine Blakely unnecessarily." Adrian Charles is getting a lot of stick at the moment, isn't he? He's everyone's favourite whipping man.
I really like Adrian.
He's good. Just because he's on every day, that's tough for any human being to.
I would encourage unnecessary touching as well.
Yeah, you know?
I think it's fun.
More unnecessary.
The more unnecessary, the better.
Here's one final one. Which one shall I do? Oh, yeah, here's a particularly irate one from an anonymous texter. "That annoying Hollins man who does the sport on Breakfast News has this thing where he sits on the sofa with one leg across his knee, holding onto his foot. Does he think he's at home?"
He's so casual.
It's weird the values people expect from telly, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult to please that many people.
Especially
with so many
nowadays.
Differing...
I mean, you know, in radio terms, there are people that tune into this show and think, what the heck is going on here?
Well, you'd quickly tune out, wouldn't you?
I suppose.
Because there's more choice in radio. In telly, maybe you're a bit more limited.
Like you were saying, there was some guy rambling on a message board or getting very irate about the fact that we were sort of canvassing for ideas for Text the Nation on our blog and saying, what the heck is the BBC come to where they just lazily ask viewers to come up with all their ideas for the show?
Well, the BBC's got an extra burden to carry, hasn't it? Because it's got all sorts of weird, you know, expectations linked with people having to pay for it.
Yes.
Here's a proper final one. This is from Joe in Oxford. "Hi, guys. The guy that presents Coast, who was the same bloke who presents the Scotland show Joe was talking about, I think. Yeah, he is. He really annoys me because he always wears a stupid little bag wherever he is. A tatchel satchel. What's in the bag? No one will ever know.
Stupid little bag.
Stupid bag. I agree. If someone has a bag on telly, show us what's in it.
You want to see what's in it?
Maybe that's what keeps people watching.
He's got water and tissues and an orange in there.
Has he?
Yeah. That's what he carries in his sack.
Great times, great friends, great highlights. The Adam and Joe's Six Music Podcast. It's what extreme boredom was made for. Excuse me.
That's good, isn't it? That's Blur with Beetle Bum. And, of course, Sean Keaveney's programme on Six Music, his breakfast show,
of course,
came from Alex James's very big house in the country.
Of course it did.
Yesterday. Don't just fixate on my little bit of DJing talk there.
Dear Adam and Joe, I hate it when Adam Buxton says, of course, in the beginning of a sentence. Of course what?
Well, you always say, yes, it's Text the Nation time.
Yes, listeners, it's Text the Nation time. I know I do. I like it, though.
We're going to say, we're going to be saying it.
Dear Adam and Joe, I hate it when Adam Buxton complains about Joe Cornish presenting and then messes up himself.
And then
he's
can't
such
even
a hypocrite.
Speak. He's like a monkey with a rotten elbow. Yes, so go to the iPlayer and you can listen to Sean Keaveney's show from Alex James's farm again and as many times as you wish. Now let's have the jingle so that afterwards Joe can say, yes, it's Text the Nation time, listeners.
Text the Nation. Text, 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 text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, listeners, it's time for a Text the Nation, the pod of the show with the pop of the text and the heart to send them in.
Yeah, you really mixed it up, haven't you?
I changed it radically.
Totally radically changed it.
Radically changed it.
Like Lou Reed.
Is that a success?
Reinventing it. Yeah, I think that's good. You should always do it like that from now on.
It's all about Text the Nation this week, listeners. It's all about annoying things on telly, annoying presentational techniques on telly.
Yeah.
Here's one from Marco in Archway. I hate the way Stephen Fry keeps taking photos on his iPhone on that animal show Last Chance. He's got a film crew with him to record it properly. Why doesn't he just Sky Plus the show? That's a fair point. I mean, I haven't seen that, but that sounds annoying.
It's very iPhone heavy. I must say I'm surprised. That's a BBC show.
They had a BBC directive about 5 years ago, which was to do with, I forget what the phraseology was, but they said they were desperate for passionate experts. What was it? There were two words they used and they kind of buzzed around production companies because they decided that all documentaries had to be presented by recognizable, passionate, friendly figures who had a personal connection with the subject.
Right.
And that's why you end up with all these bits of people doing something personal.
Yes.
You know, they keep him taking photos in because it makes him more real and less authoritative.
Uh-huh.
But maybe it's starting to get annoying.
Well, celebrity-led docs in general are...
The Rupert Everett one I caught a repeat of.
Oh, yeah.
Droning on about Byron and then shots of him just sitting drinking coffee in Venice.
Yeah.
While talking about Byron. They should illustrate it with some maybe pictures of Byron. Would that be a good idea?
Well, no, because you've got the dual layers of interest there.
Yeah, but one isn't interesting.
Well, that's your opinion.
That's my opinion, yeah. Okay, here's another one from LB in Avoc. Pronounced ock, as in lock. Neil Oliver showed us what was in his bag at Galane Beach in the most recent series of Coast. There was sandwiches and an old copy of some magazine with a picture of some football team, might have been Rangers, running up Murder Hill.
That's very specific.
I've only read that one out because we were wondering what was in his bag.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's resolved that, you know.
I thought it was some water, some tissues and an orange. Turned out it was none of those things.
A couple of tampons.
It was a sandwich and some porn.
I hate the way, says Ben from Sheffield, Daphne from Eggheads smugly mouths the answers to the contestants' questions while they're struggling to come up with the answer. She's such a righteous granny. I don't know who Daphne from Eggheads is.
I don't know what Eggheads is.
It's kind of a weird quiz thing. Is it BBC? It's a weird, like, late afternoon quiz thing. Yeah, we don't know about that, but it was a very passionate text, so I thought I should read it out.
She obviously watches a lot. You know Eggheads.
Here's one from Michelle in West Derby. I hate how Natasha Kaplinsky ends the news with a very high yet dismissive bye.
Uh-huh.
You see, you're in trouble with the news. You can never get it right, can you?
No.
You either sound too kind of relaxed.
With me, it's the outfits. I mean, I'm going to sound like an old duffer, but sometimes they wear outfits that look as if they've just come out of a science fiction film, you know?
On the news.
In the 70s, yeah.
Really?
Like absolutely mental, crazy dresses that women wear sometimes. You just think, what are you doing? That's totally distracting. You've got like a silver jumpsuit on with big, weird pipes coming off it.
Pipes?
Yeah.
Charlotte in Newcastle says, Simon Sharma, history of Britain, defies gravity by walking up steep hills, where battles have been, with his hands in his pockets. How does he remain upright?
She's just annoyed because he's sure-footed. That's not fair. Simon Sharma is another target for dads, though, for bile. My dad is always grumbling about Simon Sharma.
Well, in a second, I'll give you the top three annoying people, according to our correspondence
Simon
this morning.
Sharma. I'm going to put him in the leaky boat, along with Jan Leeming.
Oh, sounds like a nice leaky boat.
That was his phrase.
I'm going to put them in a leaky boat.
Wow, he wants them to drown slowly.
Yeah.
And realise that they're sinking quite a long time before they die, so they can discuss it.
Exactly.
And really suffer.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And leaving in Simon Sharma, screaming with fear in a leaky boat.
Oh, God, who did this to us? Who did this to us?
Is it Nigel Buxton?
Hovering in a helicopter.
My dad just laughing.
With a zoom lens. That sounds right. I told them this would happen. I've been telling them for years. Not as if I didn't warn them.
Tough luck, Simon Sharma!
That'd be a better plot for a film or something, wouldn't it? If somebody like took out a really petty... Anyway, here's one from Rory. I find it particularly irritating when presenters are pretending to be doing other work or just going about their normal life and are then rudely interrupted by a BBC cameraman and are quickly forced into doing a link about the construction of Roman vases. This particularly happens in technology and history programmes.
Yeah.
That's the same as the door step thing.
Yeah.
Right? People who are pretending to be surprised
sure.
by the fact that they're doing a link. And here's a very angry one from Pete in Newcastle. For all his years of experience, John Craven has never managed to master walking and talking. If his cruel owners at Countryfile force him to perform both simultaneously, he'll have to look at his feet, maybe to avoid cow poo, and move very slowly. Not like Kate Humble. That girl can walk and talk. Pete in Newcastle. That's good.
I would think John Craven was beyond reproach. Should we have some more of these later on in the show?
This could go on forever. I mean,
yeah,
we could just read
one.
These out nonstop for another 40 minutes.
Well, we were thinking of bringing back, you know, co-opting the Points of View song, Blah Boobity Baya, which we've played before.
And like making this a regular complaint segment.
We could call it Pointless Views.
The top three worst offenders, according to the quantity of messages we've had, Evan Davis... is annoying a lot of people on Dragon's Den.
I love him.
It's not our opinion. This is our listeners' opinion.
Yeah.
Greg, the baldy judge from MasterChef, seems to get everywhere. Everything he does seems to be infuriating people. And Steve on Land of the Lost Volcano. Not a show I've watched, but many people are texting and emailing to say he has an awful habit of taking his shirt off the whole time.
Yeah.
That's Steve on Land of the Lost Volcano. Those are our three prime telly presenting villains.
Outside my tiny little cafe in Paris, you'll find two men called Adam and Joe. All day they sit just talking away. Sometimes I listen and hear what they say. Blah 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 waffles. Blah 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 pancakes. They're making a podcast apparently. It sounds like a load of old crap to me. Oh, I am making the joke.
A few eagle-eared listeners noticed that earlier on in the Song Wars vote, the percentages that we read out added up to 90.
27 and 63, did we say?
Yeah, we don't go for the full 100%.
10% missing. No, we're like the X Factor judges.
10% of the audience just were angry. They voted for something else.
But somebody was pointing out in a text that on the X Factor, they always very annoyingly say it's 1,000%. You know, I'm going to give you 1,000%. And percentages, I think, now mean something else.
Right.
Do you know they're not used in the way they used to be?
It's not literally.
It's nothing to do with the number 100.
No, it's not literally a division of a unit.
It's just an adjective meaning, you know, lots and lots.
Quite wicked or really.
Yeah. That's what, so that's the mistake you made when you thought
that's
that 67 and 23
sure.
was less than 100. So you're wrong and we're right.
They teach that in school.
They do.
Now, today we're doing percentages. Now, who can tell me what 1,000% is? Is it really
is it A,
wicked?
Leona Lewis, B, Ray Quinn, or C, Ewan Craig?
Ewan Craig. Now, we've got an exciting announcement for you listeners. And this really is exciting because this is a chance for us all to get together and, you know, work on something together and have some fun as part of the Electric Proms. Do you fancy joining us on stage, right, at the Electric Proms next month?
Oh, my God.
Tell the listeners what we're talking about, Joe.
We are talking about an amazing live event that's going to happen at the Electric Proms. It happens during the day. So you've got to be free on this day.
What's the venue, James?
Roundhouse.
Oh, the Roundhouse.
We are looking for two people. You can be a couple or a family or a pair of friends, any combination of two people, to join us on stage and sing a Song Wars classic.
It's kind of a karaoke thing. You, if you go to the blog, will be able to find two instrumental versions of our previous Song Wars efforts. We've got Joe's Quantum of Solace song there, the instrumental version, and the instrumental version of my Nutty Room song.
Yeah, and we want you to make a video of yourself performing one of the songs. So we're not like talking about Video Wars last year, which was a request for a very creative kind of proper pop video. This is just kind of, even though you could do that if you wanted.
This is more an audition tape.
An audition tape. Yeah, we want you to sing the Song Wars song, make a video of it, place it on a video sharing site, and then send us a link to that site.
You know, it doesn't have to be fancy. As Joe said, you don't have to, like, spend hours making the video. It's purely for the performance of the song. Spend all your time honing your singing skills, right?
And that's probably important that they don't actually send the video file itself. Is that correct? You send a link to an upload site, and then we here at the castle will download it from that site. That's probably quite important for, you know, the technological aspects
Absolutely.
Of the thing.
And, you know, we will go putting links on the blog to some of our favourites. We'll
all these instructions will be in the blog.
Yeah.
So if you don't understand what we're saying, just visit the blog bbc.co.uk/blogs/Adam and Joe.
And we're going to judge the entries, and the winner for each song will perform with us on stage at the Electric Proms in London on the 22nd of October.
It'll be
during the day, not in the evening.
If you want to pick, because sometimes with things like this, I like to get a mental picture of the event.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be on the main stage at the Roundhouse. It's going to be in one of the toilets.
In the cubicle.
Maybe actually in the urinal. So if you're picturing like a massive venue, you know, like Simon in the Coldplay gig.
Right.
Erase that from your mind. Imagine a much smaller room.
What sort of audience are we talking about, James?
About 200 people. Will they be listeners? Well, we're going to get into that in another show. Well, if you don't want to make the video but you want to attend, there'll be a way to do that. But we'll get to that in a few weeks' time.
And, yeah, it's going to be like a big party, really. And
we're going to be playing the backing tracks to those two songs that you can access on our blog. And then we'll invite the two winners up on stage to perform their renditions of those songs.
Will we actually sing with them? Or no,
we might do. I don't know. It's all open to discussion, isn't it? Anything could happen. But what we're doing is keeping the default level of this competition very simple.
Yeah.
So at its base level, it's just you with a mic doing a karaoke version of a Song Wars. But if you want to introduce more elaborate elements,
yeah,
or if you want to use an instrument or do a dance or dress up or something, then that's up to you.
Exactly. You can get creative with it. But at the very least, it's just about doing a kind of karaoke version. The deadline for submitting your video links, that is Wednesday the 14th of October at 4 p.m. After 4 p.m, you will not be counted.
What if it's a tiny lame child that enters a video at 4?
Tough luck!
And one second past 4.
Tough luck, lame boy.
Little Toddy Pipkins injured his leg. Can't he enter?
No, it's the BBC. It's after 4. Tough luck, Toddy Pipkins. Out, you hobble.
Little Toddy Pipkins hobbling away with nothing to eat and having a terrible day.
Tough luck, Pipkins. Next time, in before 4 p.m. on Wednesday the 14th of October, or no fun for you. We'll reveal the winners on this show on Saturday the 17th of October.
What an exciting event. What an amazing competition.
Yeah, it is.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of those performances.
I know, I can't. You can finally do your Simon Cowell impression.
Yes.
This is the most amazing version of A Quantum of Solace I have ever seen in my life.
No, this is the most amazing version of The Quantum of Solace I've ever seen. Listen, listeners, you know I wrote this song about Margaret Mountford, the lovely lady what was
Margaret
Alan Sugar's assistant
Mountford
on The Apprentice, the popular BBC Two series about... Yeah. Well, no one really knows what
it was.
It was
a sort of an unironic love song, in a way, wasn't it?
It's hard to tell what was going on with the song, but it was a triumph, and it won. Did it win?
I think so.
Did it win, maybe? Maybe it didn't win.
Like a cloud. My song was about Stephen Fry and that lot.
Yeah, but we banged on and on and on about how we wanted Margaret Mountford to hear it.
Oh, yeah, no, so I forgot. It was a different one.
It was an Apprentice week, so yours was an Apprentice one. Yours was good. It was like...
He's a stupid moron.
It was very rude.
He's a stupid moron.
Yeah, that was the one. Anyway, we banged on and on about trying to get Margaret Mountford to hear our songs. And, you know, people listen to this show, surprisingly, some of whom work in the media,
Danny Wallace listens.
BBC. Danny Wallace, yeah, there you go. But it's kind of bigger than that, because for some reason Margaret Mountford was doing the rounds, as they say. She was appearing on lots of different shows. Was she promoting something or something?
I thought she was retiring.
Well, she is retiring, but maybe she must have had some business.
A charity thing.
Oh, there you go. And I think our producer, James Sterling, a terrific producer, you got how many requests for the use of the song? He got three different producers calling him, one from Radio 2, one from BBC Wales, and one from You and Yours on BBC Radio 4, all asking whether they could play the song to Margaret Mountford, who we'd already established has heard the song because it was played in on the You're Fired studio record.
Yes.
But then not used in the final edit.
Right.
So... poor old Margaret Mountford has been travelling from studio to studio, and in each one they've tried to sort of break the song to her, which is enormously flattering. I don't mean to sound, you know, churlish about that fact. It's wonderful that people would listen and try and play it to her. But I'm not sure she thinks it's that wonderful.
She's probably quite confused by it.
I think so. It's a confusing song. You know, it's not overtly funny in any way. And if you take it seriously, then it's probably pretty creepy. So it's hard to know how to approach it. But this is what happened when Danny Wallace tried to surprise her with the song here on Six Music.
Have you heard this song about you?
I have.
You
yes,
have?
I have.
Well, let us play it and let's keep Margaret's mic up then for Joe so that we can get your reaction to, the Margaret Mountford song.
Standing at the back, making notes on a pad, in a tailored Mac, deciding who gets sacked. At Sir Alan's side, a trusted employee, a handsome woman with so much dignity.
She's rolling her eyes. She looks happy.
I'm not sure my hair is like a cloud. Some poetic license on
okay,
it. It's a
enough.
Song.
Reading the results dispassionately, young people today, not what they used to be. Some well chosen words, a little bit gruff. She rolls her eyes, she's had enough. She
I think I want to go on that note.
had enough. You stay exactly where you are, Margaret Mountford. There's 30 seconds left. She's trying to leave the studio.
While the candidates argue on their mobile phones.
And bring it down. I'll tell you why. I was expecting you to kind of go, this is a beautiful song and I enjoy it. Instead, Margaret Mountford was pointing at her watch and mouthing the words, I have to go. I thought she was joking. She's collected her papers together and she's halfway out of her chair. And now she's too embarrassed to speak. Just break it down for us.
Thank you.
Oh, Margaret. Well, here's a CD. Pass that to Margaret. You can listen to it in your Bentley.
Thank you very much.
With Sir Alan. You may leave, Margaret Mountford.
Thank you very much
to Margaret Mountford.
There you go. So she was a bit freaked out by it, I think, and had to run away from it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hardly surprising, really, is it?
No.
It's like the song of a kind of creepy stalker.
It's probably confusing and unpleasant to be the focus of someone's questionable talent in that way.
What did you say? It's very confusing. So you're saying my talent's questionable? Yes. Yes.
Well, it's like it's hard to know what you're doing with your skills.
Yeah.
what I'm doing with my skill. Why I'm
Because she doesn't know who you are. She's not like...
She doesn't know the context. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You've got to know that it was like a competition and we chose the subject under pressure.
Yeah.
And we had limited time to do it. That's the problem with Song Wars. That's why they sort of, you know, they're like little damaged starling chicks that struggle out of the net.
What if someone that you'd never met just sort of unveiled? Someone sent in this thing and it was from some guy in Germany. Joe Connors, he is a long guy. He's very, very cool. And
I would like it a lot.
Would you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the... I chose the wrong song.
Carry on.
Joe Connors, he says, I'm an R-lot and his nose is pointy. Oh, he's got shoes on this feet. This is not a good example.
It's a very good example. I would love that, and I would have that guy in the studio, and he would become the third member of the team, and the song would be played over and over again. I mean, it would be amazing. I'd invite him round to dinner, none of which Margaret Mountford has done for me.
Yeah.
She just wants to get as far away from me as she possibly can.
Well, that's fair enough. Danny Wallace handled it well as well there.
That song's following her around like a cloud of old fart.
Like an airborne toxic event.
Annoying habits that presenters have is the theme of Text the Nation this week. See what I did there?
Yeah.
I swapped it around. I cut it in half and put the end at the beginning. Now it's different and you can't tease me. Yes.
Like Yoda. Yeah. Annoying habits Yoda. That presenters have is the subject this week. Yoda. Come on then, Yoda.
This is from Kathy in Sheffield. I hate how Dara O'Brien goes immediately after everything he says that he thinks is hilarious. It drives me mad.
That's a thing that a lot of stand-ups do, though, isn't it?
We've had various communications about Graham Norton doing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess what do? You do it to fill the space while the audience laugh, while they process the joke. It's the moment where they're thinking about the joke before they laugh, isn't it, that he's filling in, is he?
Yes, exactly. They're waiting for it. They're leaving
or
a pause. They're leaving a pause for a laugh, but they're trying to make it sound like a conversational tick.
Is it a subliminal cue for a laugh?
Right.
Is it telling the audience, have the audience subconsciously learnt that whenever he goes, "Arr," they're supposed to laugh?
Yes, exactly.
And he can pop it in after a weak joke and they know it's a joke.
And the other one was Gordon Brown.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
Here's one from Warren in Chatterton. When Philip Schofield says... brackets, somebody like the Sugar Babes have been practicing all morning and are sounding great, then they blatantly mime. He's complaining about... Now, that's on This Morning.
Oh, that can't happen. Not these days.
Oh, no, he often says that because he's often watched them in rehearsal.
Right.
And says they're sounding great, yeah. And then they just mime the track later. I think that's a good observation from Warren. Here's another one from Ali in Edinburgh. Hi, guys. I used to have to walk out the room in absolute sweating, swearing fury as that Shan Lloyd woman did the weather. Ah, the overly stretched hands, the wrist at a stupid angle, the hair, the big daft face. And the worst bit that made my blood boil was the way you could actually hear the saliva clicking in her ridiculously wide mouth as she tried to talk in the old school BBC accent. It's quite insulting, actually, isn't
Poor it? Poor Sean.
Ah, I think this is more Ali's problem than Sean's. Ugh, swearing, cringing.
People do form a very personal
bond,
attachment, don't they, to people on TV? And they get very, very intimately.
Yeah, I was saying one of my favourite things in the Sunday newspapers is in the Sunday Times culture section in the TV guide, they have a little box in the right-hand corner of the page where people write in single-paragraph telly rants.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're extraordinarily passionate and vindictive.
Well, who's the
they
guy...
They really make me laugh.
Who's the guy that does the 6 o'clock show in London, the London Tonight? What is his name, that geese?
Alistair Stewart.
He is an absolute oil bag.
You see, all right, he's your leaky boat. In your leaky boat. Here's one from Noel on the Avon. Morning, Adam and Joe. Everything the T4 team do in their intro spots makes me want to live in a cave.
You know who used to get me on T4 was June Sarpong. Like, June Sarpong started out having quite a different presentational style to the one she does now.
Mm.
Like, now she's far more polished. And
now she's an important political figure. Well, maybe it is T4. Quite a few people have emailed us and texted us complaining about Homes Under the Hammer. Here's one from Paul. Have you noticed how the music on Homes Under the Hammer is so literally related to a particular problem or feature of the property the presenters are talking about? For instance, if it's a bit of a wreck with a dodgy roof, they'll play Fixing a Hole by the Beatles. Or if it doesn't have a south-facing garden, they'll play Dark End of the Street.
We talked about this.
We did talk
years
about
ago.
It. I was trying to record that to clip out, to build up enough examples to play.
Jimmy Big Nuts. Yeah. Do you remember Jimmy Big Nuts' journey? Maybe I'll bring that in next
time. Oh, that's true. You did a whole thing about it.
Yeah,
that was funny.
No, because it happens a lot on documentaries, particularly on the BBC, where they don't have to pay rights.
But that show is really bad.
Right.
Holmes Under the Hammer, for that phenomenon. It's really annoying.
I know the classic one I saw was a really rubbish documentary about Asbos or something. And they had a shot of some horses in a field, and they played Horses by Patti Smith over it.
Really?
You just think, what? What's the point of that? How is that enhancing the doc in any way?
Here's a final one from Zandy Thomas. It says, "Hello, Adam and Joe. I can't blooming stand Tess Daly on Strictly. She stands next to Brucey, gurning and flaring her nostrils like some sort of she-bull. She's also constantly gesticulating in a manner akin to an animatronic character from a Disney ride. She'd be great stood in the Phantom Manor, frightening tiny wee children. She also has robo-boobs, but I like them." So thanks to everybody. We had such a good response to that. A lot of passionate opinion. Some of it pretty irrational, but that's what we wanted.
And don't forget, of course, that you can contribute your opinions on that subject still during the week for Retro Text the Nation, which we'll do on next week's programme.
Yeah, the email address is adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. We will not be accepting texts anymore. Just email during the week, please, if you have something to contribute.
That was the end of the so-called highlights from this week's Six Music Radio Show. Now there's just a little time left for one final linky from the two baboon men that you call Adam and Joe.
So that's it, listeners, for the podcast this week. How's the elbow holding up?
Not that well. You know, I was aware that I referred to it as Guy Garvey a couple of times. I guess I thought it was a clever thing to do.
Yeah, because that elbow.
You know, Guy Garvey's the lead singer of Elbow, so I called it my Guy Garvey.
Are you regretting that?
A little bit. I just thought, why don't you shut up, you stupid tit?
Well, that's another thing. You know what? I've had, it's an interesting topic, I've had quite a self-loathing week.
Have you?
Yeah. Do you do a lot of self-loathing?
Sure, I love it.
I mean, it's part of the makeup of a healthy psyche, I think.
You reckon?
Well, I think it is.
I think
if you eliminated it totally, you know, you might have problems.
It's important to keep it in balance.
In balance, but I definitely, it was slightly out of balance. Especially if you're doing creative things, you tend to be, it's good to be critical on yourself, isn't it? You hopefully try and...
Not too critical.
Not too, yeah, but it can go too far. But I had a week of self-loathing.
What set you off?
Listening to the podcast.
Oh, really?
Sometimes I listen to the podcast, and we've talked about this before, but midway through I just think, shut up! Not at you, at myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think, my God, what an idiot hole.
What are you saying? I listened to it this week.
I liked it. Boorish. It's just my mood that I listen to it, that I'm in when I listen to it.
Yeah.
But that sparked off a sort of celebration of self-loathing.
Were you bullying someone in the show there?
I don't remember what it was. It's just my tone of voice. I just got fed up with my voice.
Your voice.
And then that was the theme for the week, really.
My voice. Well, you know, my voice gets around and people have been emailing about the fact that it's popping up on...
On the Philip Stark program.
Philip Stark doc, and someone was saying...
It is tricky to take it seriously.
They wanted to know if the show was still being recorded because they wanted me to sneak in a few sneaky Stevens and stuff during the voiceover.
That would be quite challenging, wouldn't
Unfortunately,
it?
Unfortunately, it's all in the can, and also I probably wouldn't get paid.
Yeah, plus they'd cut it out.
They would probably cut it out. It's not live. Yeah. It's not a live voiceover.
But Philip Stark himself has a very flavourful and eccentric French accent.
That's true, he does.
Which sounds not dissimilar to an accent you might do.
Mm.
So it's almost a pity you don't do the voiceover in his accent.
Yes, that's right. He is an absolute...
Do you know what I'd like you to do?
Flaming buffoon, isn't he, though?
Is record some of it and re-voice it for us.
Okay.
With maybe a stupider take.
I don't even know. When does the show go out? Do you know?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I recorded that voiceover a long time
ago. You can get it on iPlayer, though.
Can you?
Yeah.
All right, I'll try and dig some out and do
that'd
a stupid
funny.
Re-voicing.
Yeah,
I hope that wouldn't get me in trouble with the programme makers.
Nah, they'd love it.
Okay, good. Anyway, listeners, that's it for us this week. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast. We'll be back with you on Saturday morning on Six Music Live. And then, of course, there'll be another podcast after that. I mean, there's no real reason for me to say that. I was just kind of filling
in. It's good, it's good.
To make it sound slick.
We hope you have a great week, listeners. No self-loathing. Don't loathe yourself.
Yeah, come on, love yourself. It's the hardest thing to
do. Say something nice about me to help me love myself.
Oh, man, I can't say enough nice things about you. You know, I'm going to miss you all week because you're funny and handsome and you've got great ideas, and your topics for Text the Nation are wicked.
It's
and
gone
you're
too far the other way now.
Is it?
I'm overconfident. I'm the best.
You're a bit of an idiot though.
Oh, a bit of an idiot hole.
Swung back again.
Okay. Have a good week, listeners. Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/6music.
The way your brain works, mate, sometimes I just think, yeah, you think a lot of deep stuff.
Do you know what my mum used to say
yours,
to me,
mate,
when I was growing up?
No.
She said, one day, you should read a book.
Oh, mate.
Or was it write
What's
a book?
She, what did she mean? What, did she, what was she talking about?
Maybe she meant write a book.
Write a book.
But I...
ride it like a horse. You should ride a book. You should strap a saddle onto a book and ride it along the sea.
Along the sea?
Yeah.
Adam and Joe
on 6 Music.